This podcast is on the topic of service and specifically on parents' role in supporting the girls in volunteering and its benefits. And I suppose I often start with the question, what would you prefer, to be treated nicely or kindly? And there is a big difference between being nice or even civil and kind. And this, I think, draws out at base really the connection between service and ethos. It's not about ticking the box or just being civil. It's so much more than that. And in this defence, there is a poem which is called Why Be a Volunteer? And I think it's very nice even just to read through it, to remind us again that volunteering is just more than what meets the eye. It goes like this. Why be a volunteer? It's not for money. It's not for fame. And it's not for any personal gain. It's just for love of fellow man. It's just to lend a helping hand. It's just to give a tithe of self. That's something you can't buy with wealth. It's not the medals you worn with pride. It's just for that feeling deep inside. It's that reward down in your heart. It's feeling that you've been a part of helping others far and near. That's what makes you a volunteer. And again, I suppose, there is a pain barrier involved in volunteering. Volunteering, I would suggest, within ethos. And what I mean by that is there is a pain barrier with service, according to the, you might say, the Catholic or Christian tradition. It's not self-seeking. It steps away from the ego. And instead of seeing in a person that somebody I should be civil to or that somebody I should be nice to, we see instead in that person, whether that's a person in school, in my family, in this world that I inhabit, as somebody I'm connected to, I'm responsible for in different ways, but also, more deeply put, somebody who's a child of God and somebody who deserves to be treated well always because of who they are. Whereas the danger with treating somebody civilly or somebody nicely, if they are not nice to me or if I don't feel like it, well, there's no obligation. Whereas within the Catholic or the Christian tradition, there's always an obligation to treat somebody well because of who they are. And the gospel parables and stories are full of messages in this regard and lessons. And I always think that line, you know, from Jesus, which says, you did it to the least of my children, you did it to me, is a reminder to us, you know, the underprivileged in our society are the ones who have, you might say, more call on our duty to serve them. The film 1917 is just out, and everybody says, as a work of cinema, it's absolutely beautiful. But of course, as a film, as a portrayal of a historic event, which is World War I, it's devastating because 40 million people died in that war. And why was it so devastating? Because the people fighting each other were technically had the same value system, and they technically recognised in the person across the trench somebody had a dignity equal to theirs, who was deserving of their respect no matter what. And yet the failure of that Christian message was the failure of World War One, you might say, in many ways, because the Germans and the French and the English, etc., they're all Christian, and they all recognised the importance and the dignity of each person in those trenches. And yet that didn't win through, you might say, in the fact there was a war in the first place. So being a member of the church, we're not part of an organisation simply. It goes much deeper than that. We're part of an organism. And in the same way as once cells of a body begin to attack each other, you potentially have a terminal illness. When we don't treat each other well, we don't serve each other, treat each other kindly, we're hurting ourselves, and that's how deep it goes. And volunteering or service is at the heart, you might say, of who we are as a community. We love one another. It's not just to be seen to do it. It's not just for a good CV, for a good skill set, interpersonal, being empathic. It's much deeper than that. And of course, Pope Francis is a particular advocate of this, and some of his quotes are just fantastic. And one I like a lot because it's so straight. It says, "You pray for the hungry, then you feed them. This is how prayer works." So it's a reminder to us that we don't just wear our faith or our ethos on our sleeves. We live it, we become it, we are it. And that's the big challenge for all of us. And my experience, I have to say, and I'm sure it's the same for many of us, of talking to people who are very involved in charities. You know, and oftentimes they're people with busy jobs and, you know, busy family life, and you often ask them, you know, how did you get involved? And I often find that they got involved because as a kid or as a teen, they started volunteering, often because their dad or their mum was involved in the local St Vincent de Paul or the parish or the GAA. And this was part of what it meant to be in my family. And you find in them a sort of a Moorish approach to life. Nothing's too much, almost like a different value system, that people come before projects. They seem to know when to draw a line between work and family. And there's a certain generosity about my time, which is always very liberating. A past pupil was telling me recently, her last child has Down syndrome, and she was commenting that, you know, socializing and working with people in Down syndrome Ireland, you know, as a mom, she says you meet the most extraordinary people. I've learned, she said, to reimagine the world in a very different way, with a very different value system. A value system not based on key performance indicators. You know, how many of us hear about key performance indicators, whether it's in the workplace or modern life, expectations, deadlines, outcomes. And of course, they need to be there, but they can't be the only drivers in our personal life, in our family life. They cause more stress, and it's not helpful. And it's very important, I suppose, for us, if that's the type of world we want to create in our families, with our teens, in the school, that we need to think about how we're going to do that and create that connection. And that's where service comes in. So when we're talking to the girls about service, we'd often ask them, well, how can you help? And why should you help? And that's, I suppose, the first thing, is to convince ourselves why service and why volunteering is important. Well, Gandhi has a very interesting quote. He says, the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. So it's the action of helping or doing something for someone else helps us to find ourselves. And that's the first thing. And Martin Luther King, whose anniversary was the other day, made that famous statement. Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And so often we tend to think about, well, what am I doing for myself? Or, you know, how do I feel about things? And Frank again reminds us of these core values. She says, no one has ever become poor by giving. So it's a case of, well, values cost, and we don't become poor by giving. So not to be mean with our time or with our kindness. Because if we want to become the person who's known for these values, who lives by these values, well, there's a certain pain barrier about it. And again, the basis of true self-esteem is not about proving oneself, you know, to be smarter or better or more popular. And that's often a big challenge for our teens, you know, and in this world of effortless perfection, this is what their gold standard is. Whereas we're trying to help them to challenge that and to think, well, being the best person is a person who lives according to her values. And Theodore Roosevelt has an interesting quote on that. He says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So it's a reminder to us that deeply people value us for who we are, not for all our intelligence or all our capacities. It's what kind of person are we at base? So how to serve? What is service? What does it look like? Well, there are four kinds of service. The first is direct, and that's clear. It's when we serve somebody who directly, a person or a place or something we want to impact. So it's there in front of us. Indirect service is the type of service where we're not present to the person or thing we're impacting. That can be a community, it can be somebody in another country, it can be whatever, you know, they don't have to be physically in front of me. And the third type is advocacy, you know, using our voice, our ability to speak, to advocate for or against a particular issue or finding a solution. And again, that's, you know, teens are so fired up, you know, by situations or places in the world where there is obvious examples of injustice. And that's something that we as adults need to try to help them to find ways to act out, to act on, because otherwise they can end up thinking, what difference can I make? You know, and we can always make a difference, even if it's a small difference, you know, whether it's posting up something positive, whether it's writing a letter about something, whether it's raising awareness about something among their own peer group, whatever it is. It's important that they learn to use their voices and use them well. And then the final type of service is research, and that involves finding new information that informs or demands action. And again, it's a wonderful thing to help them, you know, to get behind the slogans, get behind the clickbait, get behind the fake news or the echo chambers and question, well, where did that information come from? Is that factually true? Is that source of information credible? Is it real? And that's really, really important in helping them to form their opinions well and to be able to stand by them and to listen to all sides of a debate or an argument. Again, of course, in all of this, pause and reflection are really important for our teams, because otherwise we don't make ideas that we hear part of our own learning or part of our own life. And we in school will give the girls a moment to reflect on simple things like who has helped me, who has served me. Often it's mum and dad, often it's a sibling, it's a grandparent, it's a neighbour, it's a relation, it's a friend. And it's a reminder to them that we are who we are because of the people who helped us on, along the way. And other people haven't had the same privileges and support and opportunities we've had. And that's a very important part or motivating factor in wanting to serve others who don't have the supports we have. And a great part of our role as educators and parents is to help the girls to face down moments where they can and need to step into the fray. You know, be kind to somebody they find annoying or who's on their own. It's a reminder, you know, that we don't serve people because we feel like it or because it's easy or because I like that person. We serve somebody because it's an important thing to do and this is what I'm called to do in this given moment, and maybe I'm the only one who can do it right now. We ask ourselves often, what's the impact of volunteering on the girls and your daughter? And there are many impacts, and many of these you'll be familiar with yourself, but it's good to remind ourselves because, again, it reminds us and motivates us to really support them in their volunteering. The first thing, I suppose, is that they're present. They're present to somebody. They're there. They're showing up. Whether it's an older person in the local community, whether it's an older person in their family, it could be their granny or their grandfather. And it's one thing to want and to talk about the importance of these things, but it's another thing to actually do it. And it's extremely important for them to do that. It's real time. It's not, you know, social media. It's not virtual time. And as social media and et cetera encroach more and more in our personal space, our real-time space with people, our FaceTime with people, it's very important that they get an opportunity to have real-time encounters with people. And that's what volunteering does. It gives them perspective. As a teen, it's so easy to lose perspective, to start navel-gazing and to stay in the navel-gazing of, I'm not good enough, or so-and-so said this, or I'm not perfect, or I'm not intelligent, or I'm not the type of person I want to be, etc. Whereas volunteering helps them to realise that it's not about effortless perfection. So often the people they serve when they volunteer are people who are in some way vulnerable in our community. They're older, they live with special needs, whatever it is. And yet they can see these people have so much to give. They have so much joy about them oftentimes that their volunteering with them has made a difference in their lives. And so it helps them to realise that perfection is really nothing to do with it, is nothing to do with flourishing. It gives them a sense of responsibility. They have to show up at a particular time on a particular day. And if they don't, well, there's a vacuum, there's a gap. And only they can do it. And that's so important for life's choices, you know, having to show up for a neighbour, having to show up for a family member, for a spouse, for children in a future life. It's not something we negotiate. It's something we just do. Usually things that we just do out of habit is because they're learned behaviours from our teenage years. So it's a very important part of volunteering. It creates connection. You know, so often our teens have a difficulty finding connection. You know, the famous book, Connected But Alone. And how often they're connected, but they're very alone. They feel isolated, even though they're surrounded by people. So this is real connection. It gives them a great self-esteem and confidence, which, of course, reduces anxiety levels. Because self-esteem, as I said earlier, isn't based on perfection or achievement. It's so much based on core values and being the person I want to be and in other people needing me. It's life-changing. So many of the girls in school comment on volunteering as something that has really changed the way they see things. It gives them a sense of being, a sense of purpose that they could never have imagined. You know, theoretically, you can tell them volunteering is important, but it's only when you do it yourself that you realize this makes a difference. And so I think that's something we as adults need to be all the time open to. And it also gives them a sense of changing the world. Otherwise, the next generation will be a generation, unfortunately, of passive adults who just don't get involved because they think, what difference can I make? So volunteering gives them a sense of changing the world, and it does really change the world. It makes a big difference. And sometimes it's not as complicated as it sounds. As parents and educators, we may often ask, well, what can I do as a parent? Do I just sit on the sideline? Do I just ask over dinner? How did that go? And that's all important, to know what's going on, to ask them to tell it back to you. That helps them to reflect on the experience, to hardwire it, because by telling it, you're making it something that's more real to you. But also a real way we can help is by getting involved ourselves, leading from the front. And I suppose for parents in the school who do volunteer with the girls and have got involved in some of the volunteering opportunities in school, often they'll say back to you things like, it's created an equality of relationship with my daughter, which I haven't had till now. Because usually when I'm talking to my daughter, I'm saying, listen, how did that test go? Or did you do that? Or did you remember that? Or what did so-and-so say? Or that parent-teacher meeting. So it's always sort of checking in and checking up sort of approach. Whereas volunteering, there's an equality there. You're both volunteering together. You're both being vulnerable together. And that's really, really good for our teens to see, is that it's okay to feel vulnerable, to be doing something for the first time, to be in an uncomfortable space, to not know what to say to a lady of 80 I just don't have a grandparent living with me. And the support we give them by being present there, by bringing them obviously when needed. And that can be good for them too, if we feel, well, if I don't have the time, but bringing them to their volunteering, they also have that space themselves, which is good. But also if we can volunteer with them, obviously it's a great thing to do. And there are many opportunities in the school. The Parents Association are working hard at it, and a number of mums are committing and have committed in December to go to the Leopardstown Park Hospital and volunteer with the girls at weekends. And again, it's up to each parent to see what will work. Is it once a month? Is it once every 2 months? Whatever it is, it's really, really worth doing, and it really will stand to your daughter if you can do this. So I suppose that's really the main thing really to say really. The other opportunities in the school are bake and share. And then, of course, any ideas you might have yourself, any contacts you have, any dreams you have yourself as a parent, think, oh, I'd always wanted to do this, and maybe I should do it, and now's the opportunity to do it and to try it out. You know, you can always try. It may not work, you know, from now on out. It may be just something you try, maybe as well, that didn't work. But at least it's worth a try, or to engage, as I said, in other opportunities in the school that are already in place. Finally, just the last point is leadership and service. We do encourage the girls to think in terms of changing the world around them for others, and that's what leadership is, where the girls challenge the status quo. And the biggest challenge in that is stepping outside your comfort zone, and that's what volunteering is. You can't really be a leader if you want to be in the pack. A leader always goes ahead and takes the uncomfortable space of encouraging others to follow. And so we'd often say to the girls, well, if you use your power to make people do things they don't want to do, you're not a leader. But if you can inspire people to do things that are good for them and their community, then you are a leader. And that's really what it's all about. Having a go at it, having a sense of humour at it, realising that it does make a difference. Thank you.